Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Does Jesus Give Us Hope?
Grace, His mercy, His peace be yours today, O Christians, through Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let's start out today in Matthew chapter 12. Here God foretold through Isaiah the coming of His Christ. This is from Isaiah chapter 42, but quoted in Matthew 12. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. And he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He'll not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick, till he brings justice to victory. And in his name will the Gentiles hope. Today, I'd like to talk with you about hope, the hope of the Christian. And let's start out with this question. Are you a hope-filled Christian? Do you have a joyful, enthusiastic, optimistic, bright view of the future, of great things that God has for you in the days to come? Is it bright? Is it beautiful? Does it cause you to run towards it with zeal and energy and joy? Or is your view of the future more dark, grim, gloomy, scary, such that you don't really want to run into it and don't have energy to run into it? Let's talk today about hope. The hope of the Christian, what God teaches us about that in His Word for our encouragement in Jesus Christ. And to start out, let's take a look at this question. Answer this for yourselves. In your own hearts, is hope a star? If your life, your Christian life, were a movie, is hope one of the stars, the heroes of the show? Or is it just have sort of like a delightful cameo appearance, a little guest appearance, insignificant on the side? How central is hope to the Christian? Well, if we open up here to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about the greatest three in the Christian life. This is the hall of fame, if you will, the best of the best. He says, so faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So how central of a star is hope, according to Paul? Part of the Hall of Fame. It's the best of the best. It's the top three. You got love is the greatest. Faith and hope are right there next to each other. And actually, faith and hope are close blood brothers. Did you know that? Let's open up the Bible again here and check it out in Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Notice, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope are so intimately intertwined, they are two peas in a pod, they are joined at the hip, they are blood brothers. Almost hard to distinguish between them, except you could say this, faith is the certainty that God's promises of what He said is going to bring to pass will indeed certainly come to pass, with a guarantee. But hope is the excitement that those things that are sure and true that are coming to me, and they're coming to me soon, and I'm excited to run at them as for a prize, and I'm going to enjoy them. So faith and hope are right there with love. Faith is a star, a center to the Christian life. Is it for you and your life? What is hope? Hope is something very future-oriented, isn't it? You don't hope for, I hope I have a car in the past. Obviously, nobody says that because the past is gone and done. It's water under the bridge. You can't go back. Nor do you have hope for something you presently already have. I can't say I hope for a car when I say I already have a car. I don't hope for something that I already have. Hope is, you could say, I hope I have a car tomorrow when I don't have a car today. It's future-oriented, right? It's aimed towards tomorrow, that you believe great things are coming to you in the future. Do you believe that great things are coming to you in the future? That it's bright? That God has rewards greater than you can imagine? A better life, a better time, better things, better relationships, better worlds in the future? That's what hope is, future-oriented. So why is it so key for us as Christians to have hope and to hold it fast and never lose sight of it or let it grow dim, but keep it bright? Well, let me phrase it this way. If you have hope in the future of great things, you're going to run towards them with great zeal, energy, joy, brightness, enthusiasm, because the great things are right there before you, and it's going to give you energy for the run. But if you lose sight of all that, and it's just a dark, grim, gloomy future, who wants to run towards that? You're going to have no energy left in your life. No joy, no zeal, nothing good. You're going to wish you were just dead in your tracks and not go anywhere. And that's not the way God wants us to live. For an example, when I was here, and I've shared this story with you if you've been here for many years, but when I first came to this part of the world in Florida, and I came to Catalina Isles, we used to live over there by the high school, I went running in those days when my knees actually worked, and I went to a 3-mile run. I wanted to do a nice 3-mile run on a hot day, and then the prize was to get home and dive into that cool pool and have a nice refreshing drink as the prize at the end of the run. So I started out and I ran the first mile, no problem. Second mile, no problem. And on my way home, the problem was is all the canals there cut off all the streets and I didn't know my way around. And I got lost. Did I stop running? No, I'm like, I'll get home soon. The next road, I'm sure, is gonna be my road. Well, the next road was not my road, no luck. So my hope, my vision of the future, the prize dimmed, and so my pace slowed and slackened. And then I came to the next road. I'm sure I'm gonna get it this time. No go Chicago. I didn't find the way. Well, I'm sure next time that will be the road. And I kept running, and next time I looked, I have no clue where I am. What happened was I stopped running. Why did I stop running? Because I had no energy left? No. Because I had no hope left, I lost sight of the prize, that it was near, that it was going to be attained shortly, and that I'd be enjoying it. When hope died, I stopped. I quit. I stopped running, and I slowed to just a snail's pace walk. What happens? Well, I walked another road or two, and all of a sudden, I saw something familiar, a sign. I know that road. That's the next one over from mine. What happened? I immediately jumped into energy again, began to run. And then I came to the next turn. This is my road. I saw my house at the end. Now I sprinted and passed the mailbox like Jesse Owens in the Olympic Games. Because the prize was before my eyes. You see, our energy is closely tied to our hope. If the hope is blazing, your energy and zeal and joy will be fantastic. But if you lose sight of your goal and you think it's far, far off in the distance or unattainable and you can't see it, gone is your hope and gone also is your energy. So if you want energy, zeal, joy in life, which God desires for you, you've got to see the hope that's set before you. As Peter says, set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. See it in your mind's eye, the prize that God has set before you as Christians. So you can run like Paul and say, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. Does that describe your faith? Or is it kind of dimmer today? Are you kind of slowed down, lacking zeal? Hope is your star. So let's run after hope and rekindle it. Because you know what? Hope, we've got to be honest, right? It's not easy to keep hope alive in our hearts. Amen? Do you have that problem sometimes? Not seeing the goal, the prize that God has set before you, seeing kind of a dark future, kind of gloomy, kind of scary, that you want to run away from instead of to? Well, that's seen in the scriptures. Look at Job. He was very hopeful when things were good, when he was healthy and had all his money and all of his family, but then he lost all those. The evil one struck him, lost children, lands, flocks, money, and his health. And he said, he breaks me down on every side. I'm gone and my hope, he has pulled up like a tree. He felt it was completely uprooted and withered. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to their end without hope, says Job. Jeremiah felt the same. He said, he's made my teeth ground on gravel. I've forgotten what happiness is. And I say, gone is my expectation from the Lord. The future is dismal. He didn't even want to go on. Paul, likewise, said, at one point in Asia, we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. The point there is, yeah, if your hope is not the brightest today, well, that's the same for every Christian at times, because troublesome times make it very hard to see the prize. If there's a hot, blazing day, and you're perspiring, and you're running, and you can't see home, you don't even know which street you're on, and you're lost, it's going to be very hard to keep running until that prize comes into your eyes and your mind again, and then you start to run. So how can we rekindle it then? Because Hebrews 6 says, we desire you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope into the end, so that you are not sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So how do we find hope and make it bright in you today when it might be dim? The answer is, Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus came to give you hope, and a true hope, not as the world gives. What does the world give? What kind of hope does the world have? When you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are, etc. That's wishful thinking. Stars like that are not going to help you. In fact, the wishful thinking of the world has no guarantees. There's zero certainty to it. It's all based on whim and chance, and frankly, it's not going to work out. For the Bible says, the hope of the righteous ends in gladness, but the expectation of the wicked comes to nothing, and God brings the way of the wicked to ruin. Their hope is vain. Christ came to give you today the true hope, for he is the God of hope. Psalm 146, happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. God is the God of hope, friends. And the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. So, the hope that God gives you in Christ is rock solid, okay? It's certain. It comes with a guarantee. It will most surely come to pass. So, where are we going to find that hope? Well, the hope, is this there feedback on this thing?
Yeah. Slightly.
Okay, we'll work on that this week. Look at it this way, friends. What has God promised to you in Jesus Christ with a guarantee, a certainty of your future, that seizing it and holding that prize in a vision in your mind's eye will give you energy and joy today to run the Christian life and to the end? First of all, he gives you the joy of the hope of a right friendship relationship with him through Christ. Can we read that in the Bible? Should I just turn this off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Stand by. There we go. That's much better, isn't it?
Much better.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 2. Now I'm going to be speaking even louder, okay? So gear up your ears. Gird up your loins like a man, as Peter says. Okay, so Paul says, concerning our friendship with God and your hope that you actually can have a friendship with the Creator God who is on your side to help you. He says, remember you Gentiles that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. At one time, friends, zero was our hope. It was vain, it was false, it was devastating, there was zero hope. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. He has abolished the law of commandments and ordinances to create in him one new man in the place of the two, Jews and Gentiles, so making peace and reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. What is our hope today that you have a right relationship with God? Which is really the big thing that you need in your life. Above all things, to know that God be on my side, who can be against me? What is your hope that that's true? The hope is that Jesus Christ has established for you with a certainty, with a guarantee, with his own oath and promise in a new covenant, peace to you who are in him with God, that his blood, his cross, has taken away the law which condemns you, that his salvation is yours with a guarantee. Is that a hope for you for today in your relationship with God? That you can rejoice that he is with you? It is. How about, is that hope for tomorrow? Because, you know, all of us Christians, and I'm looking at you, Jeff, because you're like me, we can all challenge ourselves and say, oh, is God with me, though, today? Because I see that I have sin I'm still wrestling with in my flesh, and I, at times, fall into as a Christian. Will God, do I have hope that I will have good with him tomorrow? Well, but this I call to mind, says Jeremiah, and therefore I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In fact, we have even better than that. It's certainty. It's a promise. It's an oath. It's rock solid. Salvation, friendship, reconciliation for those who are in God, in and through Christ Jesus as their Savior. The Bible calls this an anchor. Did you know that? Imagine yourselves, you're like a ship that could be cast adrift and stormily dashed on the rocks of the coast. But in Christ, he's gone into heaven, says Hebrews chapter 6. There into the sanctuary on high with his own blood like an anchor to secure for you an eternal redemption. That's not only for today, friends, but it's the hope for tomorrow and for the day after and for every day for the rest of eternity into forever. That God is your friend through Jesus Christ who died and rose for you through his shed blood. An anchor for our souls. And David said, he's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. So say the word secure, just I know you're out there. All right. It's an anchor, friends. Say the word anchor.
Anchor.
Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and your relationship with God. How about, though, about your future? I mean, sometimes we're like, okay, God's with me, but my future still looks so grim. I face so many troubles. The world has its problems, too. I mean, sometimes, you know, I look back on some of my younger days, I'm like, wasn't it great to be carefree, just sailing Little Pleasant Bay in Cape Cod with no responsibilities whatsoever? It seemed so bright back then. Now I got all these responsibilities. Or maybe you're looking at the world in the news and saying, it's a madhouse out there. It's crazy. Or these bad guys, the elites, are doing all this wicked stuff in the world. How can I look to a bright future there? Or maybe your body's getting older and you're facing weaknesses of the flesh and you're like, how can I look to anything good because my body's falling apart and stuff like that? But what do we hear in the Bible? God delights in the welfare of his servants. We don't know what the future holds, none of us do, but we know who holds the future, amen? And if God holds the future, these are his words. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11. And the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. There is a guarantee for you, friends, a certainty about your future, that even if you don't know exactly what's coming, and God does send storms at times, that's okay. If he's with me in the storm, I'm going to come through that storm closer to him, and I'm going to come out on the other side in victory. It's a bright future, friends. If I can go through all these things with God, if God be on my side, what man or what thing can come against me? It's a bright future, even in this life. For he delights in the welfare, your welfare. He's a good God. And those whose strength is in God go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion, Psalm 84. But what is our real hope as Christians? It's in Jesus Christ, and yes, in this world. But it's especially for the world after this one. The kingdom to come, that's where God beckons us to place our hope. The prize at the end of the race, beyond all the hot and blazing streets, there lies a city, the Bible says, of gold, pure gold, transparent as glass. Can you picture that? Is that where you're running as a Christian? Have you forgotten the hope to which God has called you? To his city in the clouds and in the world to come? Look at what we read in Romans 8, it says, the creation, all of nature, the world, was subjected to futility at one time when Adam sinned, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. God had all of creation fall into the plunge and into the caverns and the under the sea world of sin and death and evil. but in hope that it would rise at the last at Christ's return when he sets all things free. For the creation will be set free, says God, from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Is that Christ before your eyes today, or have you forgotten about it? Can you imagine the world, forests, creatures, seas, a city, all perfect and set free in which righteousness dwells? That's the hope of the Christian. If that prize is in your eyes, is a vision in your heart, you're going to run with zeal no matter what happens. Who cares if I get there? But if you lose sight of that, you're going to stop like I did in my run. Don't lose sight of it. The Bible says in Isaiah 32, the guarantee, my people will abide in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Kind of like a Thomas Kincaid picture, you know, with a little quiet cabin by the lake with the mountains and the little slowly ascending smoke from the chimney and light pouring forth from the house. I mean, God has a quiet resting place and peaceful, secure habitations for you in the world to which we are bound as Christians. Keep that set before your eyes that you may run and not grow weary. They shall see his face, says Revelation 22. Can you believe that? You can't see fake God's face now, but you can see it. God's own shining, glorious face. And his name he's going to write upon your forehead. And you shall reign with him with crowns forever and ever. That's the hope of the Christian. Don't forget it today. Put it before your eyes. Through Christ we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand, says Paul. And we rejoice in our hope of the glory of God, of seeing it and sharing in it. Are you excited? You're all gorgeous people today. Amen. I love it. But you know what? You're going to look so much better then. The Bible says the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's what Jesus says. Can you imagine that you are going to look and appear and you will be light? Think about that. You will be light, like God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Is that what you're going to look like? Is that your future? Is that before your eyes as your prize to which you're running? That you will be a creature just shining with light? That's the promise and the guarantee to the Christian in Scripture. For in this hope we were saved, says Paul in Romans 8. What hope? The resurrection of your body. For hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. Future-oriented. In the future, guaranteed, secured, rock solid, with a promise and an oath from God, you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Your body raised out of dishonor into glory, out of weakness into power. And because you desire this better country, a heavenly one, God, he's not ashamed to be called your God. For he has indeed, for sure, prepared for you a city. Again, it says in the Bible, the gates of that city are 12 gates with 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And the street of the city of pure gold, transparent as glass. Is that your future? It is. This is from God's word who created the world. This is the hope that we have in Christ. And Paul says he became an apostle in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised ages ago, and at the proper time has made it known through the preaching of the gospel, and will make it clear to you in the full sight on the day of Christ to come, and that day is coming soon. You know, if this world were a movie, it'd say, this show is coming soon to a theater near you. This is coming to our world. My deliverance draws near speedily, God says. My salvation has gone forth. My arms will rule for the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they, what do you think the word is? Hope. For soon the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth wear out like a garment, and those who dwell in it, though evil, will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance never ended. That's what's before us, Christians. Let's run for the prize. Let that encourage you. Put that in your pipe and smoke it if you want to do something like that. Come on, let this rekindle the flame of your joy today. For by God's great mercy, we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we've been born anew to an inheritance, friends, kept in heaven for you at the moment, which will be revealed. An inheritance which is called imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in other words, at the end of the race. So run with perseverance the race that is set before you today, because you don't have long to go. It's only a street or two more. And Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon. So now, friends, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I may abound in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Does Jesus Give Us Hope? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.